Well, tonight we're talking about, again, about the Holy Spirit. In tonight's class, we're going to study the leading of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, that message last week, if y'all didn't like it, I don't really much care. I appreciated that message last week. It really ministered to me when Pastor talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes you get so caught up in doing what you're doing that you forget that you have the Holy Spirit Himself inside of you, and His number one reason for being there is to help you. And so, any of you need any help? Y'all needed any help this week? I need some help tonight. Thank God the Holy Ghost is here, the one who's here to help us. Hallelujah. And, you know, there's two things that every believer has just got to know. Sadly, most believers don't know these two things, but two things that if you're going to enjoy what Jesus has given you and walk in the inheritance He's provided for you, there's just two things you got to know. And one of those things is how to live by faith. But the other thing you have to know is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, those are two things that Pastor and I continuously talk about, continuously think about, meditate on, and feed on, you know, teaching about those subjects for ourselves. Because we know if you're going to make it as a Christian, if you're going to actually fulfill God's plan for your life, you're going to have to know those two things. And of course, with those two things come many other things, because you can't walk by faith if you don't live a life of love. So, I mean, there's lots of things that go with it. But tonight we're going to talk specifically about the leading of the Holy Spirit and how to follow Him. Now, you've heard some teaching on it. But, you know, even as I was preparing for this myself, as much as I've, you know, understood this, it just came to me afresh and anew, the importance of being led by the Spirit of God. And the day we live in is a critical day. And if you don't know how to live being led by the Spirit of God, you can get yourself into trouble in a hurry. But if you do know how to be led by the Spirit of God, you talk about an edge. Pastor began a message last week talking about how we have an edge because we have the Holy Spirit. He gives us the advantage. I tell you, being led by the Holy Ghost gives you the advantage every time. I don't care if your opponent's smarter, if he's bigger, if he's stronger and got a lot more money. If you have the Holy Ghost leading you, you have the edge. So we're going to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. And the first thing you need to know is this. He leads us first and foremost through the Word of God. Now, a lot of times people want to talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, and they want to talk about things that are, you know, real experiential. But you got to start with the Word of God, because that's where the Holy Spirit starts. He starts leading you first through the Word of God. And let me say this, and He will always lead you foremost through the Word of God. That's what He does. He comes, the Bible says, to testify of Jesus. Well, Jesus and the Word are one. He's always given testimony of the Word. How many of you ever had a situation you were facing with and a scripture came up in you? A scripture that you didn't memorize on purpose. A scripture that you heard referred to sometime, or maybe it just, you know, maybe you heard somebody mention it. I've been in places where I heard a scripture reference come up and I didn't even know what the reference was about, and I had to go look it up. In fact, I was telling this story when we were down in Charleston to that group of preachers down there about how some years ago, I guess it was 1995, right before we started the church. In fact, I was standing at my dresser one day brushing my hair, and we had had a big storm, a big, you know how you have big thunderstorms here? And we had a big thunderstorm, and I was getting dressed, and just standing there, it just ran through my thinking, just ran through my mind about Psalm 91. What happened is I just heard. I wasn't thinking about this. It just came up in me. I heard Billy Brim's voice, and she was saying, you know, we have a weapon in this day against terrorism. And so, anyway, I remember that coming up in me. She said, thank God we have a weapon against terrorism. Well, I'm looking back on it, I think she was talking about the blood of Jesus, because she wrote the book, The Blood and the Glory and all. But when it came up in me, what I thought about was Psalm 91. And so just standing there in my house, I began to quote Psalm 91. Well, meanwhile, we had had our air conditioning on, and when the electrical storm came, a lot of times it knocks off the air conditioner in that old house. It would do something with the electrical system, and it would throw the breaker. And so before I turned the air conditioning unit back on, I wanted to make sure that that breaker hadn't been thrown. So I'm walking through the house, and I walk out through our playroom and into the washroom and open the door to the breaker box, and sure enough, the breaker had been thrown. So I reach up to turn it, to flip it the other way, and the moment I put my hand on it, lightning struck that thing, and it came into me, and I didn't come to. It knocked me through that room, through the playroom, through the breakfast room, through the kitchen door, and there I kind of came to myself. I don't really know what I was doing, but I was yelling for my kids. And so I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about the Holy Spirit who brought that up to me moments before. See, he knows things that are to come. He brought that up to me moments before. And all the way out there, I was saying, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him I trust. That was what was coming out of my mouth when I was struck by lightning. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, a lot of people, when they're looking for the Holy Spirit and his leadings, they get mixed up and they start looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit. So don't do that. Well, we'll talk more about that in a minute. But people, they start looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural, because sometimes the supernatural seems very ordinary. Just like that I just shared. At that moment, it seemed pretty ordinary to be confessing Psalm 91, because it was something I did all the time. It didn't seem like something very spectacular. It got real spectacular, though, when I came to myself and thought I had been, you know, and thought that I was dead, but I wasn't. Praise God. So let's open our Bible to John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit has been sent to lead us into all the truth. John chapter 16. Verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. Well, you can look at that and say he'll tell you what the truth is about any matter, any will. He'll show you when you're dealing with somebody what the real deal is. He'll show you what the truth is. I don't know how many times I've been talking to somebody, and while I'm talking to them, inside of me, the Holy Spirit says, that ain't so. And I just know it. And that don't mean I look at them and say, you're a bald-faced liar. But I just know on the inside of me that with the information I'm being given isn't really what the information ought to be. But, and so that is true, but what he's really talking about here is he will guide you into all truth, meaning he'll be your guide as you study this manual. He's your own personal guide to the book. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Praise God. He'll guide you into this book. He'll show you the truth about the word. The word is the truth, and the Holy Spirit knows where the truth in this word is that you need. Because there's truth in this word that you need to apply to every situation and circumstance you have. And the Holy Spirit will show you where that truth is. You know, he'll show you a scripture to stand on. He'll show you what the word says about your situation. Or he'll have a minister bring a scripture or a message to you. Maybe a scripture in a little different light than you've seen before. And he'll answer things for you in a very supernatural way. But it doesn't really seem that spectacular. Some of the most supernatural things that have happened in my life, you know, I almost would even hesitate to share it with people because it just seems so ordinary. But they were very supernatural. Just like Patty came up to me one night after service and she said, Pastor Susie, I just want you to know, she said, for the last year, every time I come through those doors and I had a question, she said, somewhere during the message, somehow y'all ended up answering the question. And then she said, and I go back out. I don't need to get counseling. I don't need to have somebody pray with me. She said, God gives, you know, somewhere in the message, the answer comes. Well, you know what I found? This happens to me. I'll be sitting there like you're sitting there tonight, and you think the preacher says it, but he really may not even ever say it. The Holy Spirit says it to you on the inside, and you're so open that you think the preacher said it. That's happened. I'll be talking, I'll be sharing something with Matt, and I'll say like he said, and I'll go off onto this whole tangent of what the preacher said. Matt said, when did he say that? And I said, well, you know, over there with this and that. He goes, Susie, I don't think that was ever said in there. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure, and I'll listen to it later. And the preacher didn't say anything about it. The Holy Ghost was talking to me, and it was all coming at me. I thought it was all coming out of the preacher. Now, Psalm 119 says that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, and it is a light to our path. You know, at night, around our property, you've heard about the snakes. We don't go out on the property and walk about without a lamp, because you don't know what might be lurking over there. So you just shine that light and look to see what's there. Thank God for flashlights. Thank God for lanterns. But thank God much more for the Word of God that illuminates our path, because we're living in a dark world. And every day you go out into dark places and you need some light. And I know there's light on the inside of you, but sometimes the pathway in front of you seems a little dim. God's Word will give you light in your pathway, and he'll show you which way to go and what way to proceed. And he'll show you where the snakes are. Thank God. But you have to look to the Word to illuminate your path. When you need direction, you go and see what the scripture says. See, the Bible talks a lot about seeking and finding, but Christians so often, they just want it, but they don't want to do any seeking. But if you want some light, you're going to have to look to the Word to get the light. That's the truth. You look to the Word, you go to the Word, do your part. We have a part to play in this. We have a part to play even in receiving a leading from the Holy Spirit. we have a part to play. We're going to see a little more about that. But some people, it seems like they hear from God all the time. Other people, like, you know, they'll tell you, I'm not really sure God ever says anything to me or that he led me to do anything. Well, I'm going to tell you, you have a lot to do with him leading you, because he leads people all the time. He's leading you all the time, but you have to do your part. And one of the big parts you play is looking to the Word for your light. You go to the Scripture, see what it says, you follow it. Some people look for other leadings because they don't like what the Word says, so they're wanting another leading. They don't like what the Word says, so let's get something else here. Sometimes I have people come to me, and they already know what to do. They just don't like what they know to do. They want me to say it's okay to do something else. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." You know, spending time in the Word of God will help you to discern His leading. The Word helps you to distinguish between what your mind is saying, or what logic and reason is saying, and what God is saying to you in your heart. And so it's a good thing. A thing I learned from Jane Hillman some years ago, she said that whenever she's making a big decision, whenever she's not getting clear leading about something, that she will spend extra time in the Word of God and stand on this scripture, Hebrews 4:12, believe in God on purpose for him to clarify for her, is this me? Is this just my head? Or is this the Spirit of God leading me to do this? That's good. I've used that and it's helped me. And Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating on the Word of God day and night. And meditation on God's Word enables you to observe or to see how to do His will. You know, a lot of times you have a general direction. You know, for instance, in a few days we're going to be leaving and we're going to Minnesota. Well, I know the general direction that Minnesota is from here. It's north. But just knowing that Minnesota's north isn't going to get me to Minnesota. Did you know that? I got to have some specific directions to get there from here. Well, a lot of times you'll have a general leading. You'll just have a general sort of deal that you know that God has this for you or he has that for you in your life. Maybe you sense a calling in general. I feel a call towards children in my life. Well, that's wonderful, but that's kind of like me knowing Minnesota's north. I'm not going to get to Minnesota just knowing it's north. You're not going to be able to fulfill God's plan for you just knowing you have some leading towards children. Well, does that mean you're supposed to like have as many as the old lady in the shoe? Or does that mean you're like supposed to go teach in the preschool? Does it mean that you should, you know, start a Bible study for the kids down at Gilbert Manor? Does it mean, you know, what does it mean? So you've got to have a little more specific, a little more direct guidance concerning what you need to do with that leading. Well, the way you'll get that is by meditating on God's Word. If you'll find scriptures, these are some of the things you can do. You can find scriptures and passages where God directs you to do certain things. Maybe you're feeling there's something about healing. Maybe there's just a general direction from God. Now, I'm using kind of spiritual ministry type terms, but this can apply in any area of your life. But say it's maybe about healing. You feel like God wants to use you to minister healing to people, but you're not sure. Are you supposed to go down to the hospital and lay hands on everybody in the ICU? You know, what are you supposed to be doing? Well, one thing you could do is you could start over in Mark 16, where Jesus gave the command to go into all the world and to lay hands on the sick and recover. Brother Hagin talks about how when the Lord directed them to begin a healing school out at the school out at Ramah to start a healing school, that people heard they were starting a healing school from all over the world, and they called Brother Hagin or called up to the ministry, and they said, you know, I hear y'all are starting a healing school. God's directed us to start a healing school. And they'd say, you know, praise God, brother. And so the people would say, well, we need you to tell us how to start one. And Brother Hagin said, no, you don't need me to tell you how to start a healing school. You need to find out from the Holy Spirit how to start your healing school. And see, that's the problem a lot of believers have. They just want to copy what everybody else did. God's got a way for you to do what he's calling you to do. He's got a specific route for you to get there, a way for you. And you'll get it as you meditate in the Word. Now, I'm telling you this because I know this from personal experience, because God asked us to do something that we didn't know how to do and still wonder how to do a lot. But how do you find out how to do it? You don't just call every pastor you ever met and say, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Sure, they have good ideas, but is that what we're to do? The best thing we can do is hear, go and see what other people are doing perhaps, but look in the Word and let God show us how to do what he's telling us to do. See, and that works in your life. With what you're doing, whatever it is you're doing. And as you do that, you'll start to get light inside. And you'll start being able to see on the inside. And you're not going to be able to do something until you can see it on the inside. That's where the light will come. That's the lamp will shine inside. Now, 1 Thessalonians says, to test all things. Y'all ever heard that? Test all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, test all things and hold fast what is good. They have little testers on batteries. Now, y'all ever seen those little packs of batteries? Well, you can get a set, you can get all your batteries, you can go all over your house and get all your batteries and put them in there and test your batteries. And the ones that indicate they're still good, you keep those, but the ones that say they're not, what do you do with them? You throw them away. Well, that's just what you should do with the leadings you're getting. Did you know that? Just because you have a leading doesn't mean you act on it. You take even the leadings that you have and you test them. And then the ones that are good, you keep them and you act on them. But what are you going to test your leadings by? The Word of God. Thank God we have something. I can't tell you tonight how appreciative I am of the fact that God went through everything that He did and that people paid just awesome prices to have the Word of God written down so that you and me could have something to read. And that we could go back to it and we could have something continuously to refer to. And we're just not living out there going by what he said, she said, they said. But we have something in writing that we can all go and read for ourselves. Knowing what the Word says about your situation will help you judge the leadings that you're getting. And you need to know what the Word says. You need to know it. Somebody was telling me the other day this story about a lady riding down the road and there was some kind of truck, one of these Brinks, is it? Yeah, you know those trucks that carry money, that transfer money from place to place? And a lady was following this truck down the road, and off this truck fell a bag of money. And it fell in her path, and she jumped out and got this bag of money. And I guess the people drove up and left it, I don't know, but maybe they probably obviously didn't know what happened, but now she had this bag of money. She got that bag and counted the money in it. It was $120,000. She took that bag, and you know where she went? She went to her pastor's house so that they could pray about what to do with the money. Now, that's a classic case of somebody that didn't like what they were getting from the Word, so they wanted a different leading. So the pastor said, just pay your tithes and give the money back. No, I just teased it. No. But she went to the house. I mean, she went to her pastor's house to decide what to do with the money. Let me tell you tonight, this will save you a trip to my house. If the money bag ever drops off of a truck in the roadway and you pick it up, don't even come to my house. Just call their 800 number and let them know that you got their money. They'll be there soon enough. But that was somebody who was looking for a different leading than the one the Word had. You see what I mean? She was getting a leading, and thank God she had the sense to let her pastor help her test it, but... Anyway, she was getting led all right, but I don't think it was the Word that was leading her. I don't think it was the Spirit of God that was leading her. The Holy Spirit speaks to us spirit to spirit. Now, people look at the Old Testament and they see the burning bushes and then they hear about the fleece. They hear about the guy that put the lamb's wool, the fleece from the lamb out, and he wanted God to make it wet and then he wanted God to make it dry. And they read about things like that in the Old Testament, how God communicated with people in the Old Testament. And then they want God now to communicate with them or to direct them or guide them the same way He did those people in the Old Testament. And here's the news tonight. God's not going to lead you that way. God has a whole different system for connecting with us, a whole different way of leading us. And God's not going to speak to you from a burning bush. I know. Because I remember when I was trying to figure out if I was supposed to marry Matt or not, I just told God, look, I've got to have a supernatural sign here. And I was struggling and everything. I remember so plainly one night I stayed up all night long. I watched the sun come up and I was standing looking out the window praying and I was saying to God, God, you're going to have to help me with this. I just can't figure this out. And I was wanting a big supernatural sign. And you know what God said to me? He said to me, you're never getting a sign. I'm never going to give you a sign. You're going to have to follow me the way that I lead, and I lead in the heart. But I'm just telling you, we're all of us, I bet, have been one place or another in our lives. We just wanted God to show us for sure, let us know, let the phone ring twice, God. If it's you know, if I'm supposed to do this, let the phone ring twice. I mean, some kind of something that we got to have. And I'm telling you, every bit of that stuff that you have been doing or have thought about doing, I'm going to tell you, it's all hogwash. It is. Now, every once in a while, you might get what the world would call lucky. And it works out for you. But I'm telling you, if God had anything to do with it, it was just sheer mercy. Because born again people, God does not lead born again people by outward deals. He doesn't lead you by something on the outside. He leads you on the inside. The whole reason the Holy Spirit moved in you was because He wanted to talk to you on the inside. He wanted to live with you and commune with you on the inside. And God doesn't communicate with you spirit to flesh. He communicates with you spirit to spirit. And you need to remember that, because it's real tempting to get caught up in, oh God, just show me here, show me there, do this, do that. Because I'm going to tell you why God doesn't do that. This is why God doesn't confirm Himself to you by making the phone ring twice. Do you know there are any number of natural phenomena that can make your phone ring twice? Do y'all know that the devil could make your phone ring twice? But you know what? The devil can't talk to you spirit to spirit. That's the one place that is reserved for God and you to communicate. And the devil can't get inside your spirit and talk to you. So if you hear it in your spirit, you know it's God. If the phone rings, you know, we don't know. We can't be sure it was God. But we can be sure if we hear it on the inside of us that it is God. You see, he's reserved a special place for the two of you to communicate that the devil can't interfere with. Now, Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit on the inside. We call this the inward spirit, the inward witness. Other than through the Word of God, this is the number one way that He leads us, spirit to spirit. Other than just showing it to us in the Word, then the next thing that He does is He leads us by speaking to us on the inside. On the inside, we can sense His confirmation or His denial that we are taking the right steps or making the right decisions. And this is something that needs to be developed in your life. This isn't something you just know because you heard a message like this and now you're a master at it. No, I've been being led by the Spirit of God many, many, many years, and it's something I still miss it, something I'm still learning about, something I'm still practicing in my own life. And really, it takes a lot of discipline to run things by Him. To always acknowledge Him before you act. Now, what happens, really, a good way to describe it is this. The book of Psalms talks about how God gives you the desires of your heart as you delight yourself in Him. Well, as you begin to delight yourself in the Word, you begin to delight yourself in Him through praise and worship. You begin to delight yourself in the Lord, that He'll give you desires in your heart. Well, that was what was happening to me when I was trying to decide if I should marry Matt or not. Finally, it came down to this. Did I want to? And I wanted to, so I did. That's finally how I decided what to do. What will happen in your life is the desire within you will grow or it will decrease. Now, I'm not talking about your fleshly lust. I'm talking about the inward desire for it will begin to grow or it will decrease. And what I do when I'm making decisions, especially things that are going to affect, you know, a lot of people or something that's going to affect me in a big way, what I'll do is I start taking what I call baby steps towards it. I mean, I don't go off and jump off the cliff, hope there's a net there. I mean, I might peek over and see what's down there. Do you see what I mean? And so I start looking into it a little bit. I start checking it out. And the more information that I get when I'm getting information about it, I just keep looking on the inside. So it might be a job situation. You're looking into a job. Well, don't go to the first interview and they ask you if you want the job or not. You know, they offer you the job and you commit to the job on your first interview when you're not sure if this is God's will for you or not. You might ask some questions. You might look up some information on the company. You might pray a little bit about it. You might, you know, check, see if there's any other jobs available or open. You might ask God if this is the field He wants you to be in. You might just do a little more checking into it. You see what I mean? You take little baby steps, and then if that seems to work okay, what you do is you're checking out on the inside. You're not just going by all the facts. You're looking on the inside. Did this seem like a place you were connecting with on the inside? Something on the inside's got to be clicking for you. Something's got to be working there for you. John chapter 10 gives us some comforting words. John chapter 10. Because this is good news. Because some people feel like, I've talked to people, and they kind of feel like that there are people who just hear from God. It's easy for them to hear from God. There's just no problem. They're always hearing from God. And then there's them. And they may hear from God every once in a while. But not very often. It's certainly not a normal thing to hear from God. And when they had in the past thought they heard from God, later on it sure looked like they didn't hear from God. So they're kind of skittish of this whole subject. But to me, John chapter 10 is good news for somebody that might be feeling that tonight, because Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And that's Jesus. He's the one who came as he came the legal way into the earth. He entered by the door, and he's the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, let me ask you tonight, are you a sheep, and is he your shepherd? Do you identify with Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Well, it says here, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, I was reading a book not long ago about sheep. And this book was talking about sheep and how they are as animals. And I don't know much about sheep. I've never been a shepherd, never really had a farm yet. But sheep, this book was talking about, are not the brightest of all animals. Any of y'all have any experience with sheep? They're not like super gifted in the realm of the intellect. They're not real bright. They're kind of dumb. Well, that was good. That's good news for you tonight, too. If they said this was, you know, like porpoises, you know, that were following their shepherd, if it was shepherding, if shepherds shepherded porpoises, that we might be, because they're supposed to be pretty intelligent animals. But no, these are sheep. Sheep have to have shepherds because sheep are pretty much too dumb to find the water without themselves. They're pretty much too dumb to find the grass without the shepherd. You know, they need a shepherd to lead them. So that's good news tonight. If sheep can follow the shepherd, you can follow the Lord. You can follow the Spirit of God. That's good news, isn't it? The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, just think about it for a minute. How does a sheep know his shepherd's voice? Because he's heard his voice. And he's heard his voice enough times that he recognizes his voice. That's pretty important. But even the dumbest sheep of the whole flock knows who the shepherd is and can hear his voice. And he knows, even the dumbest sheep knows, that's the shepherd. When he says, you know, we're going over yonder, then I need to go over yonder. Even the dumbest one. Praise God. So that means even if you think spiritually you're kind of out of tune and a little, you know, hard of hearing, you can hear his voice, you can know his voice, and you can follow him. And the way you do it, the way you develop that in your life, is just simply by spending time hearing his voice. Again, well, I don't know if I've ever heard his voice. Oh, yeah, you have. Right here. This is the voice of his word. This word has a voice in your life. And so I can't tell you how important it is to know the word tonight. Let me just say it this way. If you don't know the word, you're going to have a hard time figuring out it's even your shepherd's voice. But I know if it sounds like this, it's him. If it lines up with this, it's him. If it's in agreement with this, it's him. But no matter how much it sounds like a leading, if it's not in agreement with this, it's not him. If it's not lining up with this, it's not my shepherd. Because when his voice speaks, it sounds just like the voice of his word speaking to me. That's one of the awesome things that happens as you hear, as you read his word and as you hear his word brought forth. And you learn his leading from that. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. Not only that, even the dumbest sheep can figure out, that's not my shepherd. That's a stranger. I'm not going with him. You know, when you're a little kid and your mama tells you, you know, don't take rides from strangers. You know, even a small little baby knows who its mama is. A little child, you see this all the time. We just take this for granted. A 2-year-old will run from the stranger who's approaching it. They'll run and they'll look for mommy or daddy. They'll look for somebody that they know to get away from that stranger. So you don't have to be super developed spiritually to hear from God, do you? A four-day-old baby knows which one mama is, knows mama's voice. They've been hearing mama's voice for 9 months. They know who Mama is. So why do we think we have to be super developed spiritually to know Mama's voice? We don't. But we do have to have had the experience of hearing from our mama, so to speak. All right. Yet they will by no means follow him, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now that is what I want for you. That's what I want for me. I want to be in a church. I want this church to have people in it. I want this church filled with people who know the voice of the Good Shepherd and who are unwilling to follow the voice of a stranger. Because if you won't follow the voice of the stranger, you're not going to be deceived. The stranger can't lead you astray. The stranger can't come in and get you and slaughter you and eat you. There are many voices that believers may hear, but only one is the Spirit of God. Now you think how many voices that there are. There are many voices. Just in this room, how many voices do we have? There are many voices in the world. There's 6 billion people. That means there's 6 billion voices. That's just of the people. That doesn't even count how many voices that there might be coming at you from the other realm. There are many voices, but only one is the Holy Spirit. And you want to make sure you're getting His voice. We can learn to know and to respond to His voice just as sheep learn to follow their shepherd's voice. Sheep go where the shepherd leads. They don't question His leading at every turn because they have figured out, even as dumb as sheep may be, they have figured out that the shepherd is taking them to shelter or to water or to a greener pasture. He's somebody we want to follow. I don't have to be afraid of His leading. I don't have to question, well, shepherd, are you sure this is going to be a good path to take? Are you sure this is going to be good water to drink? A sheep knows to trust his shepherd, and we can trust the leading of God. He's not leading us somewhere bad. He's leading us somewhere good. So we can trust him. Now, Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the candle or the lamp of the Lord. Now that again goes to the bears witness of the fact that He deals with us spirit to spirit. God is enlightening you. God is bringing light to your pathway on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit's dealing with the man's spirit by giving him light and revelation in the heart, not the head. In the heart, not the head. See, one reason some people find it difficult to follow God is because their head gets in the way. They're so developed mentally that their mind just, they're used to just being ruled by their mind. I guess we could all be smarter, you know, mentally sharper. And it's good to be sharp mentally. I'm for that. I'm for education. I'm really for that. But I'm not for education at the expense of knowing the leading of the Holy Ghost. I'm not for being smart and intelligent at the expense of the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not an either or. You can be smart, you can be bright, you can be sharp, and still follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. You need to remember that. The Holy Ghost isn't always going to be against common sense. Some people think the way I know it's God is it was just unbelievable. It was just something I would never do. It was just totally didn't make any sense. It must be God. No, that doesn't make it God because it doesn't make sense. Y'all ever read the book of Proverbs? It's the most sensible book ever written. So some people think, oh yeah, it had to be God because it was just out there. I would never do that. And so some people say, I probably said that myself. I probably said, you know, that just had to be God because it was so far beyond anything I would ever think of doing or anything any sane person would ever consider doing. That must have been God. No, that was just a really stupid devil influencing you. Now, I'm not saying everything's going to make sense to your mind, but, you know, there's a balance here. There's a middle of a road here. There's some wisdom here. I heard a pastor say this not long ago, and I thought this was good. He said, never, never substitute faith for wisdom. Never substitute faith for wisdom. What does that mean? Never never go against just sound wisdom that the Bible gives you and say, oh, well, we'll just believe God through this thing. And go against what the Bible gives you as sound wisdom. See, you get in a big mess doing things like that. You can be wise and be in faith at the same time. It's amazing. Now, I'm going to just make a little comment right here. Some people are more naturally inclined to make decisions based on the facts and based on what they sense. This is just how some people's makeup is, how their personality is, how they're wired. Some people just make decisions based on the facts, based on what they sense. And there are other people, they don't even have to be Christians. They don't even have to know the Spirit of God. But there are other people who are just, you know, they decide things based on their guts. You know what I mean by that? They're how it feels on the inside. They're what we would call intuitive people. And other people are analytical people. And you're probably, whichever one of those you are, you're probably married to the other one. That's how it is at my house. But you know, and probably any good marriage is like that. You don't need just, well, going by the hunches all the time. Somebody needs to actually like add up the numbers and see if they do work out. Thank God for that. You need both. But some people, the people particularly that are analytical, that like to reason everything out, that want all the numbers to add up, that want everything, those people seem to sometimes have more trouble being led by the Spirit. I know that. I remember plainly we were in a meeting with Ed Dufresne, and he called my husband out, and he said to him, y'all remember Ed Dufresne? He said to him, he said, you're going to have to get out of your head and get into your spirit. See, because most of everything he did, I mean, my goodness, he was a controller, you know, worked with numbers, data. I mean, everything he did was just adding it up and how many beans do we have left at the end of the day? Did they eat them all or not? I mean, that was the deal. And so to go from that to being led by the Spirit of God, it was like he was having to pull himself out of the place where he naturally was. But it doesn't matter if God made you more analytical or more intuitive. It doesn't matter. You still can hear from God, and you still need to. And in fact, you still have to hear from the Spirit of God. But some people, I think it's more easier. I know, you know. I feel like with Matt, sometimes he says, dear God, you know, it seems so much easier for you. But it's just, that doesn't mean anything. There's a lot of things a lot easier for him. But let me just say this. I'm not telling you not to use your brain. I'm not telling you just go on every hunch and never check out the facts. I'm not for that in the least. I believe in checking out the facts. I believe in gathering all the data you can. I believe in looking into the matter in every natural way that you can. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. In fact, you ought to do that. But don't leave out the Holy Spirit when it comes time to make your decision. Go ahead and let him have the final say. Go ahead and learn to look at him, lean to him. Now, my mama always makes fun of me because she says if we're ever going to do anything, she has to let me know way ahead of time because I have to get it all settled before we even start to do it. I have to have it all settled on the inside. This, I think, I'm sure I got from my father. But, you know, it's like if you're going to go anywhere, you're going to do anything, I have to, like, know about it ahead. So on the inside of me, I can get it all sorted through and settle down. So on the inside, it seems like the right thing to do. But if it don't seem right on the inside, then you are dragging me, kicking and screaming. And I've been drugged many times. You know, and it's and on the inside of me, I have to see how it's going to work out. On the inside, I have to see the parts and how they work together. I have to check into all these kinds of things. It frustrates people that are more analytical, like my mother and like my husband. But on the inside of me, I want it all to be checked out. Now, I'm not saying you have to be like me. Thank God most of you aren't like me. But I'm telling you, there have been times where that has really saved our bacon. It has really saved us, our bacon, whatever that means. Y'all know what I was thinking. And it has, over and over, y'all, you know, I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying again that you have to drag out every decision. It only takes a moment to hear from God, really. If you're in a receiving mode, it only takes a moment to hear from heaven, you know. But you can get in a hurry and miss God. And we all have those testimonies. Now, I want to remind you what the Bible says over in Proverbs. I taught a night on this when I taught on getting wisdom. And the Bible says that wisdom makes its home with prudence. I, wisdom, dwell or make my home or abide with prudence. And the word prudent means cautious, circumspect, meaning that you look around all the way around to see what's going on and what could be happening here. This is what the word circumspect means. It means to look in a circle. That's what it means. And so prudent means to be circumspect, to be practically wise, careful of the consequences of the enterprises, measures, or actions. It means to think about what you're going to do before you do it. And that's important because many times people think they're led by the Holy Spirit. They're going on a hunch. They leap or they act on their hunch, but they never take time to actually examine and consider the consequences of what they're about to do. And they're doing it all in the name of being led by the Spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Spirit doesn't cooperate with I wisdom dwell with prudence and give you a little time to look circumspect, then something's wrong. It may not be the Holy Spirit. It's just like all those times when you're having to make a decision and people are putting pressure on you and putting pressure on you. When people are putting pressure on you to make a decision, they say, I got to know. I got to go. I got to know right now. You give me your answer. Well, I know what the answer is when people say that to me. The answer is no. Because you can't let somebody push you into something if you aren't comfortable with it. You haven't had time to be circumspect. You haven't had time to consider it. Now, I'm not saying you drag everything out for weeks and weeks. Even though I'd like to think you could. I'm not saying that. Even though I like to do that. But that's not what I'm saying. But on the other hand, there's that tendency we have sometimes. Oh, yeah, let's just go. And you just jump and do something. And you can make a mistake there. So you need to find the right balance in there. Proverbs chapter 3 tells us to acknowledge him. And he will direct or make plain our paths. Y'all remember the scripture? This is a scripture probably all the young people need to memorize before they get their driver's license. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, you don't trust in the Lord with your head. You trust in the Lord with your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. So here it is. Trust in the Lord with your heart and don't lean on and rely on your head. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct or he'll make plain or make smooth or make straight your paths. He'll show you what to do. Now, the only way he can direct you, his part is to direct you, but the only way he can direct you is if you acknowledge him. He can only direct those who acknowledge him. So a lot of things in your life, if you look back over the course of your life, particularly those really rotten decisions you make, if you'd look back at those, you might find out that you weren't acknowledging him. You were expecting him to direct you, but you weren't acknowledging him. And sometimes, you know, to acknowledge him takes a little bit of time. It takes a little energy. It takes a little bit of going to God's word. It takes a little bit extra time in prayer. It takes a little time just being patient to hear from him. But you need to acknowledge him. Now, his leadings, God's leadings are a whole lot like the speed limit signs on the road. Have y'all ever seen speed limit signs? They're there. They're there to direct you what speed not to exceed. But it's really up to you. You can drive whatever speed you want to. Then there's guides there, but it's up to you. Now, the police themselves can't make you not drive over that speed limit. They can punish you for driving over the speed limit, but they can't make you not unless they take your car or take something from you, break your legs. I don't know. They could do something maybe. But in general, there are signs there. They're not suggestions. They're actual signs telling you what to do, but yet it's still your choice. That's how it is. That's how it is for the Holy Spirit. Now, again, it's up to you. Whenever he's giving you these leadings, it's up to you to act on them. Now, I just had a situation just right hot off the press happened to me last night. We're going to Minnesota in a few days. I made reservations some weeks ago at a hotel to stay. And I picked out where I wanted to stay when we went up there. I wanted to stay right as close as I could get to the Mall of America. And so there we are, right there at the Mall of America. Well, I looked into, called the Homewood, well, I didn't call anybody who did all this online. I looked up the Homewood Suites because the Homewood Suites here. I've stayed in several Homewood Suites. They're nice places to stay. Thought we could spread out a little with the kids. So checked in the Homewood Suites. And actually, I looked at several hotels in that area and I made some reservations. And then after I'm there for several days, one day my mom's going to come and we're going to go shopping together. And so I got her a room. So, but I didn't make her room at the same time I made my room. I made it like a week or two later. Well, Matt's been talking to his family, making arrangements for what we're going to be doing when we're up there and all. And he's telling everybody we're staying at the Homewood Suites. He's telling them that because I told him we're staying at the Homewood Suites. Well, the last couple of days, I've been thinking, are we really staying at the Homewood Suites? And then I thought, I need to go find my confirmation number and all my stuff and see. see, you know, make sure everything's in order. Because I did all this online. I didn't talk to anybody. And, you know, even though they say it's all real, you're not really sure. Sometimes you just don't have that confidence that you would have with a human voice. So I'm just a little concerned. But anyway, so this has been going on for several days. Well, last night I had to prepare for tonight. I had to prepare for this morning. And I had to prepare for this afternoon. And then I have all these kids, you know, they're all wanting your attention. And then I really needed to go swimming. Okay, so I had all this stuff going on. But somewhere in the middle of that, I thought, I need to go and check on those reservations. Well, I couldn't find my records anywhere. And so then that really concerned me, because now I'm wondering, did I even make them at all? Because, you know, in the course of life, you can think you did something, especially when you come in here and there and going. I'm not really even sure. So it kind of got me concerned. So I go online. I go to the Homewood Suites, and I try to look at my reservation, and I can't get anything to come from them indicating I have a reservation with them. So I call them. I call the hotel there in Bloomington, Minnesota, where we're going to be staying. They have no record that I'm coming. And so I said to them, well, what about my mom? You know, I give them the information on her. And they said, oh, yeah, we have her arrival date and in her room and all, but I don't have anything on you. Well, then that really concerned me. I'm thinking, well, the online deal didn't work, so I'm trying to make a reservation with them, but still it's nagging me. So I'm not sure what to do because, you know, if they have me confirmed there and they can't find it, they're going to charge my credit card, you know, even though I may make another one. I'm not sure what to do. Well, then suddenly out of nowhere, I remembered the name of another hotel that I looked at their website. So I go to that website and I go in and then I say, hey, maybe I'll see if they have a reservation for me. And I just click on their view reservations and suddenly my reservation came up. I wasn't staying at the Homewood Suites. All this time I'd been telling everybody we're staying at the Homewood Suites, and I made my mama's reservation to stay at the Homewood Suites. But I'm not staying there. I'm staying over at another place. Well, isn't that good that I followed that unction I had going on the inside of me and found out what in the world was going on? So I had to change where my mama was staying and moved her over where I was. But you know what? The only thing I had is I kept having this little unction come up on the inside of me. You need to check on those reservations. You need to check on those reservations. And even with everything going on, I listened to it and thank God I did. It saved me a lot of hassle. Probably saved me some money too, because those rates are going up by the day, you know. Hallelujah. Our part is to look to Him. His part is to lead and guide. That's His job. Now the Bible says over in Isaiah 55 that you'll be led forth with peace. And so some good advice for you tonight is to always follow your heart's peace. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts. Let the peace of God in your heart act like an umpire. Now, I hesitate to give any kind of sporting illustration after I gave that illustration about the 80-yard line, and I've heard about it over and over, thanks to mainly to the youth. But, you know, I do know this, the guy that stands behind the plate and yells ball and strike, that guy's the umpire. And he does that based on what he sees that ball coming across the plate doing. Isn't that right? If that ball that's coming across the plate, if it's in a certain, the strike zone, then he calls it a strike. Or if it's outside of that, then it's, you know, some other thing. And so anyway, that's what the Holy Spirit will do on the inside of us. Those balls, so to speak, that are coming across our consciousness, He will make a ruling on them if we will listen to Him. In fact, He is making rulings on them, but you have to listen to Him. So you have something come across, and inside it feels, and I hesitate to use the word feels, but that's the only word I know. Inside it seems agreeable. It seems peaceable. There's nothing on the inside putting up a protest to it. Then He's passing it. He's saying, that's a good one. That's good. Just go with it. If one comes across that he's not happy with, if one comes across that he has an objection to, then he'll put up a little protest. Now, you don't like feel a hot, searing sensation coming up your throat. Or, you know, there's nothing like that going on. It's just inside of you, there's some unrest. It's just something that's messing with the peace on the inside. Now, I teach this same principle in the Abundant Life classes, and I always say this, that it's hard for many people to be led by peace because they have no peace. So the first thing you have to do to be led by peace is to establish peace in your life. And again, I cannot tell you the importance of having peace in your home. peace in your home. You will miss out on what God has for you if you don't have peace in your home, because you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit of God without peace in your home. If you want a good reason not to have that next argument that you're about to have with your spouse, let me tell you, I'll give you a good reason. You want to have peace in your home because you want to be able to hear from God. You do. I have noticed that when I'm upset and mad and pouting and, you know, real irritable with my husband, that really at times like that, the only one I hear from is the enemy. And he's telling me about how bad I got it. He's telling me how I'm unappreciated. He's telling me all these things. I know it's him. But, you know, God doesn't get much into me at a time like that, because he's going to leave me with peace. And there is no peace. There's no peace because I've disrupted the peace, and I'm keeping it disrupted. If you want a good reason to apologize, to repent to the people that you live with, there's a good reason to get peace in your home. Now, again, some people live with mates that aren't walking with God. And so it's hard sometimes to get peace in the home. But I believe you can live at peace even with an ungodly mate. God will give you the grace to do it. But if you live with a mate that there's just no way to get peace with, I don't think that you have to just continually live in a place where there's no peace the rest of your life and say, this is just my cross in life. I got to bear it. You got to have some peace. You got to have peace if you're going to be led by God. You got to have peace. Do you hear me tonight? You got to have peace. None of the rest of anything that I said is going to work for you if you can't get peace in your life, because he leads you by peace. There's got to be that measure of peace, and it's just like this. You get the peace level. You establish the peace standard, and you keep it, and you watch to protect it. It's just like when you're driving your car. You know, you may have one of those cars that have gauges that tell you all kinds of things, but there's a couple of gauges that in every car, there's one particular gauge that every car that I know of has, and every person who drives any car has to look at that gauge. Does anybody know what that gauge is? It's the fuel gauge. That gauge, you got to watch. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The peace gauge is that in the life of a Christian. That's the gauge you got to watch. You got to keep your eye on it. You got to make sure that that peace is staying steady, that you have a good supply of peace in your life. And when that peace level drops, you better stop and you better find out what went wrong. You better find out what's going on. Just like that, my trip to Minnesota, there was something about it agitating me. It had to do with my rooms. Now, that's a simple thing, but you can apply that principle in major areas of your life. If there's something about it that just something there isn't right, something there is just sort of agitating you a little, you better look into it. You better do some investigating. You better dial up their website and see what's going on. You let the peace of God act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state to which members of Christ's one body you were called to be or called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. You need to let him umpire the game of your life. Now, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, that we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things. An unction is a supernatural knowing. It's an urging. It's a divine ability. Now, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm endeavoring to function by the unction, to live by the unction. Not just, see, there's a thing that happens in your life when you know that you need to make a decision and you'll look to God. But there's more to being led by the Spirit of God than looking to God to tell you if this is the job for you. Did you know that? There's a lot more to being led, but that's kind of a real low level of being led by the Spirit of God. You come to a place where you'll be led by the unction. In other words, there's things you aren't even aware of, you don't even know about, that he'll give you an unction about it, and you don't even know there's a decision to be made. You're not even aware there's anything going on. You don't even know that there might be something coming up you need to act on. You may not even realize there's an opportunity, but you'll have an unction. And if you'll follow that unction, it'll bring you to, you know, it'll help be the next step on God's plan, next step on God's path for you. I know earlier this year, just over the course of a couple of weeks, I just had an unction inside of me that we were going to be traveling more. And some of you know me better than others, but traveling is not like something I like. I know some people, they're like world adventurers, you know, but not me. I like to be at home. You know, in my bed with my sheets, with my kids under my roof. That's what I like. And I'm really like that a whole lot. And so I'm not like, the only place that I ever want to go, the only place I ever get the least bit thrilled about going is when we go to Hilton Head once a year. But every other time we go anywhere, I have to like get myself up for it. Well, the Lord said to me earlier this year, he said, you're going to be traveling more. You're going to be traveling more. He didn't really say what about or anything. Well, when he said that to me, within about a week after that, I got that invitation to go to Florida. Well, then in just a few days, this happened, that happened. Next thing I know, here we are. I've been gone and back and forth and about to go again. I mean, we have been traveling. I've never traveled like I have been in these last few weeks. And you know what? I'm flying, you know, into Atlanta, and we're sitting there in Atlanta, and the plane's being delayed, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and I look over at Matt, and I said, thank God that he gave me that unction that we were going to be traveling more, because I can sit here at peace knowing that I'm following him. Otherwise, if that was just me, I wouldn't have the grace to do it. I'd be about to bang some agent's head into the wall, you know. I want to get home. Do you hear me? But, you know, I had that unction, and so it really has produced a lot. See, that was the first step to a lot of things he's been leading me about. And he'll give you unctions about things. He'll let you know this is going to happen, that's going to happen. This you need to check into, that you need to look into. He'll give you an unction. Thank God for the unction. His leading will often just seem like the right thing to do. If you'll practice it, it'll become natural for you to look inward and to run it by him. He'll give you a knowing on the inside. A couple of stories I'm going to share with you. A pastor's wife told me recently that a lady in her church came, a married lady came to her in her church and said, there's someone in the church that I'm about to have an affair with, and I just needed to come and talk to you. Said that, you know, I haven't slept with them, but we kissed, and this person's married too. Now, this is in a church with thousands of people. Comes to the pastor's wife and tells the pastor's wife. She said, while the lady's talking, suddenly on the inside of her, she knew the man. Now, to her knowledge, her natural knowledge, it wasn't like they worked together or something. She didn't even know this woman knew this man, but she had supernatural knowledge. She had an unction from the Holy Ghost telling her who it was. And it was the guy that's the janitor in the church. So she goes home and she tells her husband what happened. She said, so-and-so, this lady in our church came up and told me that she's about to have an affair with this man. And he's a married man, she's a married woman, and I know who it is. And she tells her husband, and her husband goes, you have no proof of that. And she says, you're going to have to fire him. He can't be our janitor anymore. And he says, I'm going to go in tomorrow, and I'm going to say, you're fired. And he's going to say, why? And I'm going to say, well, my wife thinks you're about to have an affair with this woman. You know, he says, we can't do this, no legal basis, no anything. And so, they prayed about it, and this guy had been being late for work. And so the husband and wife agreed what they were going to do is the next time the man was late for work, they were going to fire him for being late for work. The next morning, he came to work half an hour late, and the pastor fired him. And it came out, not even then, it came out about 3 months later that this man and this woman had an affair. It was just totally an unction from the Holy Spirit. He just gave her a knowing and she knew. Now that's supernatural, but that's not like super spectacular, or you know, in the sense like I woke up and the man's name was embedded in the dust on the back of my car. No, it was just a knowing on the inside. And you can't just act on the knowingness and sit, you know, just go in and fire him like they said. God helped them and showed them what to do. Y'all laugh, but I'm telling you, I have talked to people who have told me this. They drive their car down the road, and an angel sits on the little doohickey on the front of their car, and he shows them, when they get to the stop sign, he shows them which way to turn. And I look at them, and I ask them, you know, which medication do you want a prescription for? Because I can get you some medication. Or maybe you need to lay off some of that medication you've been taking. One or the other needs to happen right now. Now, how to be led when you need a decision, when you need direction. The counsel of the Holy Spirit is in your heart. The Bible says counsel is like a deep well in the heart of a man, but a man of wisdom, a man of understanding, he'll draw it out. Where is the counsel, the direction, the guidance from the Holy Spirit going to come from? Does anybody know? It's going to come from your heart. It's not a trick question. It's going to come from your heart. That's where it is in your heart. So that's where you have to look. You can't just keep looking in your head. You got to look in your heart. And it's easy to look in your head and think your head knows it, but your head don't know it and your head can't figure it out. If it's not in your head, it's not in there. You got to look in your heart. Now, I'm going to just read this in 2 Corinthians as we close here. All right, 1 Corinthians, actually it is, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. All those things that everybody else is trying to figure out, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, verse 7 talks about speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. And over in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, it says that when you speak in a tongue, you speak in the Spirit, you speak mysteries. You see that? In verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries. In other words, when we're speaking in tongues, we're speaking the wisdom we need. And so one thing that I do when I need wisdom, when I need understanding, when I need to know what is going on here, I pray in tongues. Because what I'm doing is I'm praying the very answers that I need. You understand that? When you pray in the Spirit, you can pray and pray out the very answers to the questions that you have. Now here's the deal. There's still a mystery. Even though I'm praying them, there's still a mystery to my mind. So how am I going to get them over to my mind? Well, that's going to happen when God enlightens my mind. That's why I pray for you all the time that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened and flooded with light. Because it's one thing to pray them. It's another thing for them to be, you know, your mind to be illumined. So your mind's going to have to be illuminated and you're going to have to be able to see what it is that you're praying about, that you can come to some understanding about it. And so what we do, if you need some direction, one of the, other than the things I've said, I'm just giving you a specific course of action here. You can pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, you're going to speak to God. You're going to talk to him about divine secrets. And then you can expect to interpret what you prayed. Now, you need to know prayer is the, in the Spirit is the doorway over into the realm of the Spirit. As you pray in tongues, you're speaking forth direction from God. And then you can just ask God for the interpretation so that your mind can understand it. Now, I don't always get the interpretation right then. Sometimes I do. Not the last time we had prayer here at 12 o'clock noon, but the time before, just about the whole time, I prayed in the Spirit and interpreted, prayed in the Spirit and interpreted almost the whole time. But I don't necessarily do that every time I pray in the Spirit. Sometimes I do. Just about every time I pray in the Spirit, I interpret something. But that's because I've developed in it. Doesn't mean you're going to do it the first time you do it. But you can actually interpret what you're praying. But I'm going to tell you, more often than interpreting back in English what I pray and getting answers, more often when I pray in the Spirit and then I go about my day, the answers come then. I get so many answers while I'm getting dressed and brushing my hair and putting on my makeup. Brother Hagin talks about how many times God speaks to him when he's shaving. And that happens to me all the time when I'm washing dishes. You know, if the Holy Ghost can ever get me to wash a dish, then he can talk to me. But just doing the daily chores of life, driving down the road. How many of you have ever had God speak to you driving down the road? Man, he can really communicate with you if you don't have on, you know, Austin Roads on your way home. God can actually get a word in and he can talk to you. It's amazing. Doing the ordinary things, he will speak to you on the inside. I mean, he will have these long, long things to say to you. Many times the way I get messages is I have no idea. I have no message. This is very often the case. I have no message, nothing to say. And I literally get my pen and get my pad of paper and God will just give me a message almost just like boom, 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 like that. He has to do that for me because he knows I have to have that because, like, I'm not some big rogue scholar in the area of the Bible, you know what I'm saying? And so he has to, like, do that with me. And so it'll just come almost like he's dictating it to me. But now, again, I didn't start there, but that is where I've developed to. But there's a whole lot more. There's a lot more for you. He'll speak to you and show you all kinds of things to do and to say, but you have to be open to him. Pray in the spirit, pray with understanding. And just close with this, you can get to the place in your life where it'll be a continual thing. When I remember one time when I was in the hospital, I found out that at the hospital, anytime you turn on the hot water, like the surgeon in the surgical suites, they turn on the hot water, and you know what? The water is hot. Now, at my house, when you turn on the hot water, you have to stand there for a moment and wait for the water to get hot. Is that how it is at your house? You have to stand there and wait for. But there, they can turn on the hot water and the water's hot. Why is that? They have some system in the hospital where they keep the hot water rotating through. Do you know it can be like that for you? Sometimes, especially when you're first starting out, it's going to be like you're turning on the hot water and you have to sit there and kind of wait for it to get going. You know, at the old house, I'd turn on my hot water. I mean, you could do a lot of stuff while you're waiting on it to get hot. But you can turn it on. It's possible where you can get where you turn it on and it just comes immediately. That happens as you practice this, as you do it on a continuing basis. If you look to him all the time, you'll just be pulling up all the time. Instead of just dipping a bucket down, you'll just have a pipeline coming out. That's what we want. Is that what you want? Pipeline flowing.